Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Andy and Pepe will look back in the extremely disappointing 4-1 defeat to Hamilton in the derby. We'll look back in the 1-0 victory against Kilmarnock that came 4 days prior to that. We'll look ahead to Saturday's game against St Johnston, and we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
How you doing?
All right, mate.
Well, Pepe, there's only one place to start, isn't there? And that is Saturday's horrendous showing against Hamilton. We've been pretty upbeat in recent weeks about the performances. The results have been a hell of a lot better as well. But there's no diluting how bad that performance was on Saturday. It was embarrassing. We were 3-0 down at half time. We would go further behind in the second half before scoring a penalty, which incidentally was awarded for a foul that was outside the box. We'd never ever threatened to make our way back into the game. Yes, we can point to the fact that Stephen O'Donnell was sent off at 1-0, conceding a penalty. But there's no excuses for the performance levels. I don't know whether it has maybe got to the point where the players who have underperformed for the majority of the season didn't just take confidence from their recent performances and their recent results. They began to actually believe their own hype, and really, they're not good enough for that. That certainly showed on Saturday. And it's a massive step backwards for us. We'll look ahead to the St Johnstone game towards the end of the podcast. But it was one of the most deflating 90 minutes of football in a season where we've been quite used to 90 minutes of sheer guff.
It was absolutely horrendous. I've been really kind of positive and upbeat recently, but it does nothing but absolutely ruin your weekend. On Saturday, it was, as you say, it was an absolute shit show. There's no other way of getting on about it. There's absolutely nothing positive that anybody could say. We didn't deserve anything for the game. So the game was done in half an hour. The thing that frustrated me with Graeme Alexander was that he seemed to still want to be gung-ho, playing three up front when we were 2-0 down to 10 men, putting Mark O'Hara in, leaving the midfield really, really, really light. It just kind of left us wide open. I can't even understand why he didn't do the substitution a wee bit earlier. Not that it would have made much of a difference. I think you made a good point. No, I think that as fans, We're really quick to jump on the accelerating up the way, and we're equally as quick at jumping into the reverse, and all of a sudden we're going to get relegated again or whatever. I know you've not said that, but maybe what it's done is that the management team will take a look back, and if they look at our centre halves, Lamy and McGabby, for me going forward, For a lengthy period of time, they aren't going to be good enough going forward. The centre of the park, we have given Barry Maguire some plaudits, but again, I don't think he's a long term prospect. For me, he would never be the first name down in my team sheet. He just reminds me of Stuart Carswell. The front three, I remain quite positive about. However, in saying that, we don't seem to have a Louis Moult type goal scorer across that whole squad. So going forward, taking the there's got to be some sort of changes made going forward. That what I don't understand though is we've signed all these players. Now whether or not Graham Alexander's going to turn around and say I'm being loyal to the players that have got us the results. Now whilst we have got the results, there's not really been a performance that I can say we've been outstanding. Maybe against Dundee United in the first half we were really, really good. But other games we've been hanging on in every game, every single game. But we take that, that did show that we had a fighting character. But there's never a game where we've come out completely dominated it. So we've got to sign all these players. I mean, I don't even know what the script is with Eddie Nolan. I don't know what the script is with Sam Foley. They don't even appear on the bench. Nobody's telling us. So at the moment, it is just a kind of... I hate it, the fact that I'm going back to my old negative self, but I don't really see what else can be done to what's going to change it, other than obviously getting that victory. But the whole thing at the moment is it's almost as if we've had the honeymoon period with Graham Alexander and there's questions being asked. Now, I'm not saying I'm calling for his head or anything like that, not at all, but that performance was up there with one of the worst that I've seen in a long, long time for a Motherwell side. And it's just really deflating. There's nothing else that I can... I was disgusted. I was raging. I couldn't even watch any other football after it. The night will be the first night that I can even be bothered watching football. It was such a switch-off. For one time, I was actually glad that I was in the house watching it, because I wouldn't have enjoyed being in the third part watching that dross.
Andy, is it the case that you've just got to dust yourself down and go on with it? There's a number of big games coming up, 5 games to go before the split, and given the fact that we've lost to a team that are struggling down the bottom, a team that would be absolutely marooned at the bottom if it wasn't for the existence of Motherwell Football Club, Hamilton, to be perfectly honest. The games are going to continue to come thick and fast. The players, you would hope, are just as despondent and just as scunnered as we are after that embarrassment, really. So, do you see the ability to turn it around? And do you think there's an importance on not dwelling on the fact that Saturday happened almost?
I think you have to. You can't just put that behind you. You can't just say, okay, we move on. There has to be arses kicked, frankly, after a performance like that. I didn't see it coming personally. I thought the way that the kind of both staff and players were kind of talking beforehand, and it's easy to talk the talk and everything, but there seemed to be an appreciation and an understanding of the importance of the game, what had gone before in the last couple of derbies against them, the importance of keeping things moving on. So it was just gobsmacking to how abysmal a start it was. I mean, we've kind of rode our luck a wee bit in terms of slow starts where the opposition's allowed us time to build into games, but you know, that was gone inside like half an hour. And I agree with Pepe completely, but I was flabbergasted why we didn't make the change at 2-0. As we went on to actually do, the penalty illustrated that. If you'd have managed to somehow keep it tight for a period, you go back and solidify things as much as you can, stop them getting momentum, then there's a possibility that you can get a goal, penalty, a set piece, something. And had that been maintained at 2-0, potentially, when you get that goal, then suddenly there in the back foot, you've got a bit of momentum, they're edgy, but we just never get the opportunity to do that, because you know, there's teams that don't start with two forwards as standard. So for us to start with three, and then be down to 10 men and still persist with three for as long as we did. It was actually worrying that you know, a manager that has that much experience would kind of allow that to kind of happen. Just so that's a kind of concern there for me. But taking it all leaving all that kind of stuff aside for the actual game, you're right in a sense. Ultimately, whether you lose 10-0 or whether you lose 1-0, it's still 3 points at the end of the day. We need to keep that in mind. We also need to remember that we've done sufficiently good work in the last month. That horrible result as it is, if that proves to be a blip, then I would say forgivable is maybe the right word, but you can live with it if, in the grand scheme of things, it turns out to be only 3 points. If it turns out to be the start of the run where everything all starts crumbling, then we worry. But as it stands at the moment, it's one awful performance in a season where we've had several really awful performances. So it's not massively out of context with the players that we've got. In the longer term, you hope that if there's any kind of hiding of limitations has been done in the intervening period since you took over, then that was all laid bare for everybody to see on Saturday. So whether in the longer term that gives him a fuller picture of the capabilities of the players that he's working with, perhaps that might be a good thing. Time will tell on that. Going forward, though, there has to be a reaction. And I'm sure we'll come on to St Johnstone in due course, but there has to be a reaction. You can't just say, OK, bad luck, bad day at the office, lads. Let's put it behind us and move on. That was way, way, way too poor a performance, too awful on a result to be able to just, you know, shrug your shoulders and move on.
I'll stick with you just now, mate. And one more thing about the manager, he didn't really hold it together very well on Saturday either. I completely understand that he would have been more than a tad frustrated by what was going on the park. But when you're looking to the sidelines and looking for a bit of leadership, the fact that the first time the chips have really been down for Graham Alexander and he's sent to the stand, it's not great, is it?
I've got a certain element of sympathy with him because he has to, and he mentioned it himself last week, talking about learning the challenges that face a club like Motherwell. And part of those challenges are dealing with the officiating that you have in Scottish football. And he's got to learn the kind of how these guys deal with things, how they operate in comparison to what he's been used to in English football, what he can potentially get away with saying, what sort of level of discourse there is between officials and, you know, management and coaching staff and what have you. So he's relatively early in his kind of tenure for that. So I would kind of give him the benefit of the doubt of that, particularly in the back. You look at some of the instances that he's experienced in the short time that he's been at Fir Park with penalties, almost because they heard the sound of something that sounded like a penalty. The instance of get Parkhead, where you could have potentially been a penalty, you didn't get it, the red card at Pittodrie, and so on and so on, the offside against Rangers. So I might imagine that there's an element of frustration there, and you know, if he feels he's hard done by, hasn't seen the replays, which you know, confirm how idiotic Adorno was and such like, then I've an element of doubt in the cold, you know, kind of cold light of day, then I'm sure he'll reflect it. He'll maybe want to adjust his approach slightly next time around.
Pepe, on the topic of kind of changing your actions, there's been a fair amount of coverage amongst our supporters given to the players and their off-field activities. Now, not for a second would I say that players shouldn't have interests and hobbies off the park, but I think there's almost got to be a bit of reading the room required for some at this moment in time. I don't really want to hear about your games of Call of Duty or where's the best place to buy trading cards and raffling football jerseys and things like that. And now some of these players that are taking part in this are performing well for the team. There's no complaints about that, but it's just kind of we're isolated from our football club just now due to circumstances beyond anyone's control. The last thing we want to be doing after watching a stream which failed four or five times, the commentary didn't work for the first half hour, we've got humped 4-1 against Hamilton Accies, is to then kind of see the players almost kind of go about it or get on with things as if nothing's happened. Yes, they're very much just like us, and I'm sure that players down south that have come from down south, rather, that have had to move to Scotland, perhaps leaving their families back home, not able to travel just now to visit them. It must be exceptionally difficult. But I just think that there's almost kind of a point in time where you just maybe curb this just for a wee bit, just allow the football to do the talking. By all means, continue playing your PlayStation, playing your Xbox, take part in your wee ventures away from football, but don't rub it in our faces. I think, again, as well, footballers are afforded a great privilege, and the fact that they're able to go on with their livelihoods, not undisrupted, but certainly they've been afforded a lot of leeway, and a lot of obstacles have been pushed out the road to allow football to continue. And it's just, to me, it just comes across as annoying, and it kind of added to the frustration on Saturday.
I think I've said that. It doesn't really bother me. I think the players are living in the same as what we do. I think more that annoys me is when we're all, we move on, we'll try better. All that doesn't wash with me. But whatever they get up to on and off the field, if that's the way that they switch off, then it doesn't really bother me at all. I don't really take, I just take it as that's part of their lives. And we're in a world now where every kind of thing that a footballer does, if they choose to be social media kind of influencing their life, then we get to know every step of them. You feel as if you get to know them that wee bit better. And I don't think that should change when we're winning or we're losing. Some of them are actually quite approachable in social media, and will help you out if there's charity stuff. So for me, I kind of tend to disagree with you a wee bit. It doesn't bother me. And I suppose that's the beauty of three normal fans having virtually a chat about it. I can understand why you're frustrated, but personally for me, it doesn't bother me. What does bother me is it's like almost like the half-hearted, oh, we need to try again. But if they're coming on and doing, if that's what they do to pass their time in the current circumstance of lockdown, then so be it. But it doesn't annoy me in the slightest. The other thing that does annoy me is the quality of the stream. The one bit of the game that I did want to see was a penalty, and in my house it cut out. The commentary, but this has just been a repetition for the whole season. I don't know what the other clubs are like. If they're having the same issues, they don't appear to be having them. But it was, as you say, it seems to be the second half with me that it seems to start pausing, and I'm not really going to get into the commentary because that's been quite frustrating.
Your hamsters are clearly knackered by the second half then.
Hey, that's it. It must be that I'm not paying the bills. But honestly, it's just a shit watch. I don't know about yourselves, but the way that the cameras were the other day, it seemed to be that they weren't following the play and stuff like that. It was a total. It's just no improving.
There was a point where we had a corner and the camera scanned in someone's cardboard cutout. And we watched that.
I'm like, what's going on?
And the ball was at the back post by the time. And there was also a kind of overhead camera that was seemed to be kind of diverting that to was, as well.
The game on Saturday was in Alba. So we get different cameras involved in that. So I don't know. Do you remember at the start that it wasn't happening? And you had the issues with the sound. So whenever it actually came on, it was like quite late in coming on. And Saturday, and you had the kind of Alba titles and credits coming up. If heaven forbid you've ever had the opportunity, dodgy streams and such like, I've seen that before, where a kind of club channel might be somewhat different from the kind of pictures that's kind of done with, or the kind of the program round about the pictures is kind of done differently from you know, the stuff that Al was sending out. So it might have been something to do with that. But
it makes it feel like you're watching a game of FIFA. Which I'm sure you can do with most of our first team squad, but anyway, we'll get back on topic. That's really boiling you.
I don't understand why you get frustrated with that.
The thing is, and there was a run of bad games, and it was kind of said to stop. And to be honest, the main one that seems to do, or the main couple, are Declan Gallagher and Tony Watt. Tony Watt has been very good this season. His performances are of a high quality, and he always runs his ass right into the ground. So I've not got any issue with Tony Watt's performances in a Motherwell jersey. I just kind of feel that I don't want to be hearing sound bites and wee noises. I just want to kind of see improved performances on the park from the team.
Do you know what Tony Watt's answer is going to be? See that unfollow button at the top right of your screen?
That's absolutely fine. But the thing is, the thing is with Tony Watt, the vast majority of our support follow Tony Watt. So it only takes three or four that are also followed by the podcast to like one of his posts, and I see it anyway.
I know what you're saying. Like, I'm quite sure Tony Watt or Declan Gallagher doesn't give a shit that I'm managing Borussia Dortmund in Football Manager, and equally I don't give a shit what game he's playing in his PlayStation or Xbox or whatever it is he's doing either. So it's just,
There probably is. I mean, I'm older than the two of them, and there's probably quite a some of our younger supporters that are into all of this. There's probably as many that are into the streaming side of things. It's maybe just that we're a generation that we're past that. But I'll tell you one thing that did impress me with Declan Gallagher's social media, that he was putting up that he was wanting, he'd just got this new gaming PC, but his missus had just had a baby a couple of days before, so fair play to the big man. He's obviously good at delegating the tasks in the house.
We're getting down a dangerous road here. The thing is, I feel kind of almost backed into a corner somewhat. I just seeing the kind of deluge of it though.
What you need to do is, I mean, you're taking umbrage or whatever you want to call it. It's seeing that. For all we know, it could be somebody that doesn't have any social media presence whatsoever. He's sitting in the back room and tan with however many bottles of beer or whatever, or get up to all sorts. You don't know anything about it. So what's worse? Somebody sitting playing games or whatever in their spare time?
It's not the games though. It's more just the...
Are you trying to make a comparison to Lee Griffiths here, Andy? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm just saying, put it in perspective. It's not the worst thing in the world. Somebody sitting playing games and then tweeting about it.
You've taken that completely out of context, because what you've said is, what I said earlier on was, there's no issue with them having hobbies and pastimes and everything else. But in the back of one of the worst results that we've had, possibly since the 2nd of January. But when you actually look back in the last 5 years, there's no many worse results than losing 4-1 at home to Hamilton Accies. So just bear in mind that people are going to get a bit pissed off by this. And I would imagine that while I'm irritated, that I'm mildly irritated, it maybe sounds like I'm a bit more annoyed than I actually am about this, but I can't imagine I'm the only one that's thinking, just stop talking for a week. Come out and beat St Johnston, then post all about your gaming chairs and your Call of Duties and everything else. But for a week, just go on with playing your games, albeit, but make sure that you're up for that game on Saturday, and make sure you're doing everything you can to show the supporters that you care as much as we do, because it didn't feel like that on Saturday. And again, I'm not pointing at individuals for not trying or anything like that. I'm just saying, as a collective, the support were badly let down by everybody that was wearing claret and amber on Saturday. There's no excusing that performance. There's no excusing that result. So just kind of, if it, and let's be honest, if it has happened at a club bigger than ourselves, it would be called out as well. So I don't see the difference with it happening here. I really don't.
I just don't really see what the big deal of it is. I don't, honestly. Like, in Saturday, I seen that I can't remember if it was Tony Watt or whatever, but it didn't even cross my mind. And it's maybe just because I'm a nicer person than you. I don't know. But it's just not something that annoys me. Do you know what I mean? I think what Andy said, right, take yourself away from it. If there's probably, they've got their own wee kind of a thing going, and they've probably got followers that aren't just Motherwell fans that are into all this. I don't even know what. I mean, I can even tell you how to do half the stuff they're doing. But clearly, you're still get your spectrum in your house and not down with the kids anymore, Andy.
I take umbrage at that. Spectrum is the greatest computer ever. Match day and football director, and I'm showing my age, you know, these old games that used to have to load up my tape recorder. Anyway, we're well off the intended topic here. I'll shut up now.
You never even mentioned Daley Thompson's decathlon. That's what disappointed me.
Well, I was keen to a football theme there, but I know what you mean.
Okay, we'll have a sensible soccer tournament at the end of the season, and hopefully we'll all be able to meet up and have this as well.
It's going to be better than talking about Motherwell getting towed with Hamilton Accies, let's be fair.
Right, okay, so let's talk about the Kilmarnock game. We're nearly half an hour into the podcast and we've talked about Call of Duty more than we've talked about football. But the McKinley game was a battle, to be fair. I don't think that either side put in much of a performance, but it was full of grit, Andy, wasn't it? And sometimes when you're in a battle, you're going to have games like that where you go to a difficult place like Rugby Park, a difficult surface, which Alan Campbell acknowledged in his post-match interview. -6 conditions, you've got to kind of get stuck in. You've got to have wee bits of luck go for you, and you've got to come away with a result. We managed to do all of that, and it felt really significant at the time. And obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, we now know what came next. But it was a big 3 points, and maybe when we're talking about the Hamilton Accies game, we can put it in a wee bit of perspective, given the fact that we went to Ross County, got a good 3 points, we beat the United at Fir Park and in gritty style as well, we beat Kilmarnock. So we had won the three big Wednesday night games, if you will. Would we have maybe taken 9 points out of 12 from the four games there? I think we possibly would have. The circumstances that we didn't make it 12 out of 12 or 10 out of 12 were extremely disappointing. But I think in the context of the season, and when we look back in the season in a couple of months' time, that 3 points at Kelly could be very important.
Well, that's it. It kind of comes back to what I was kind of trying to say earlier on there, that ultimately you hope it's only going to be a loss of 3 points that's just going to be kind of lost in amongst what is hopefully going to be a generally positive run since Alexander took over until the end of the season. I kind of thought the Kelly game was quite, in some respects, a kind of mirror image of many of our games at the start of the season. I don't think we could deny that they had more of the ball, probably more of the kind of balls into the box, more chances, if not perhaps the most clear cut of the chances. But it was ultimately us that won, and there's a handful of games like that in the kind of first few months at Fir Park where we kind of lost to Hamilton, we kind of lost to Dundee United, we lost to St Mirren. Single goal defeats where you were arguably the better team throughout that, and it was nice to kind of come out on the right side of that for once, it felt like. And you were kind of being lulled into this kind of false sense of security almost, that you know, the much maligned duo of Lamy and McGabby kind of turning in heroic kind of performances. Clearly, Kilmarnock were kind of playing to their strengths to some degree with the way the balls were getting into the box, and you know, they were kind of mopping them up quite readily. Concerns were still there, obviously. The kind of the number of balls that were coming into the box, and you began to wonder that surely it must be a tactic to allow that to happen rather than preventing them coming in. There must be an element of confidence there that the defence is going to take care of them, and so it proved certainly last week. And again, kind of slight concerns about just trying to see things out, perhaps a wee bit. You had you kind of hiding, watching through your kind of fingers a wee bit until we got over the line. But as you say, ultimately it was a great 3 points and a wee bit of kind of justice almost, if you want to call it that. Felt for the kind of grief that we got for the postponement, and I very much hope we're going to do exactly the same whenever we face St Mirren. I think that's next midweek.
Pepe, I think I'd summed that up pretty nicely, but we'll talk about a bit of the goal as well. And I think that the biggest compliment that was given to it was as soon as Tony Watt plays Alan Campbell in, you never really think he's going to miss. It's a fantastic finish and a fantastic through ball as well from Tony Watt.
And also the manager's quick thinking into that as well, with him catching the ball and quickly wanting the ball played, because obviously that was his part of his kind of he was a right back, left back, and getting the instruction on really quick to get the throw in. But Tony Watt's ball was brilliant, and it was good to see Alan Campbell kind of back to we know what he was doing, back to his best, basically, was what I was trying to say. I think the Kilmarnock game, Ricky Lamy and McGabby played well, really well, probably the best that I'd seen both of them playing. But I think possibly that was down to the fact that Kilmarnock didn't really have a great deal of quality up there for us to defend against. I think that certainly Chris Burke, Kilty looked all right, but I don't ever think there was a time where I felt that until the last minute when Kibamba had the header straight at Liam Kelly, I didn't really think we were threatened. And I didn't really think that was down to excellent defending. I thought it was down to kind of a poor quality for Kilmarnock, not taking anything away from us. But when you look at that game, there was the chance that Cole had in the first half, the chance that Cole has in the second half. We should be scoring the chances, and then obviously the quality finish for Campbell, just kind of busting run for midfield, full of effort, full of energy, and I was really happy that it was Alan Campbell, because I felt as if he needed that goal. I know he scored at Parkhead, but it was in kind of a different circumstances, but it was good to see him getting the winning goal, seeing what it meant to him after the game, his attitude, everything. He is exactly what you would hope that all your players care about. He's probably the opposite for what we were talking about earlier. Keeps himself kind of quite low key, but everybody that speaks about him speaks about how professional he is, speaks about how much he cares, and you could actually see that when he was getting interviewed after the game. He's just a kind of a role model for any young player coming through. Sorry, just going back to the one kind of positive was obviously for the I was meant to mention was against the Hamilton game, was also the young Max Johnson coming on. Although he never really had a lot to do, it was good to see another youngster potentially that the new management team have also seen something in, and he, you never know, he might feature in the game that we're going to discuss shortly.
We'll go right on and do that. St Johnstone, the visitors to Firth Park on Saturday for what is yet another vital Scottish Premiership match. Graeme Alexander, Andy, has already said that the next match is always going to be the biggest one, and that's going to stay that way until we're mathematically safe. Saints have had a good year so far. Looking at it, they've had 10 fixtures in all competitions. They've only been beaten twice, a 1-0 defeat at Ibrox, in Sunday's 2-1 defeat against Celtic, where they were actually leading and gave a fairly good account of themselves. So this is certainly going to be an easy one. They've got a squad that will all have aspirations to be part of the League Cup final squad and to be playing in a match where they've got a very decent chance of lifting silverware. They've made their first League Cup triumph in their history. So big game for both teams. St Johnstone is always a scrap. Callum Davidson's taken over from Tommy Wright and done pretty well so far. It's a hard one to call, and I think first and foremost all we'll be hoping for is a massive, massive improvement on the performance 7 days prior.
Yeah, as I said before, you're definitely looking for a reaction there. Again, just kind of carrying on in the same vein as you were saying there, St Johnstone are pretty much, you know, where we are currently is kind of what you're in the short term and maybe medium term even as well. Is what you're kind of aspiring to with the final to look forward to. And as you rightly say, I think going back to like Christmas, their only defeats have been single goal losses to both halves of the old firm. So, you know, it certainly doesn't suggest it's going to be a particularly easy fixture. I suppose though, I mean, you take the fact that we beat them at Fir Park earlier on in the season, we went up there and drawn, we were winning in the League Cup game against them. So, you know, there hasn't been massive amount between the teams in the games thus far. Hopefully we can, you know, get back in kind of form that we were displaying in at least in patches of games, if not all of them. And combined with the kind of hopefully kick up the backside that, you know, we'll be able to get something out of it. It's all the more important now given the kind of the breathing space that we'd built up has been kind of chipped away to a certain extent by Hamilton on Saturday, and it remains to be seen the outcome of the game there between Accies and St Mirren when it's played. So, you know, the picture could be somewhat different from even just a week or so ago, whenever we kind of were patting ourselves in the back with the way the league table was looking after Kilmarnock. So important to get back in winning ways if we possibly can. And I can't imagine it's going to be free flowing. You might imagine there's a kind of a more robust kind of setup rather than perhaps, you know, the kind of three strikers. Pitch looked as if it took a wee bit of a battering as well with the kind of conditions. So, you know, it may be just the case, given the opposition, the way that they play, thinking back to sort of, you know, healing the wounds of the weekend, that we go for a more kind of cautious, more robust kind of setup to begin with and take it from there.
Scott, Saturday, maybe a bit of a reminder that our home record over the course of 2020 remains poor. It was very poor over the course of 2020. Time moving fast, apparently. This year we've beaten Dundee United, but that's our only solitary win at Fir Park in this calendar year so far. So we'd really need to start picking up points at home and then alleviate the need to have all these six-pointers away. You look at the Ross County game, that was viewed pretty much as a six-pointer then. I think Killie was a massive game for us as well. So we've had to play quite a few big games in the road already. And a week tomorrow, we've got St Mirren away, and that will be a very significant away fixture. We've got trips to Kilmarnock again before the split, and a trip to Easter Road as well. So we need to be picking up points at home and turning Fir Park into a less desirable place for opposition teams to visit, because more often than not, teams are turning up at Fir Park, they're rolling us over and boosting their league position and putting us in trouble as a result.
I think what you've said is absolutely bang on, and I think that re-emphasises the total disappointment of the Hamilton result. If we had beaten Hamilton, then we would have... I was actually thinking, like, we could potentially get into the top six here. We've got Hamilton at home, St Johnstone at home, St Mirren away. So I was really, really positive. But now, as you're saying, it's so important that we go out and get this victory, because we need to show that there is a reaction
a wee podcast first there, Pepe having to drop off. So we'll continue for the last couple of minutes, myself and Andy. Just a final one on the St Johnstone game, Andy. Is there any areas where you would like to see change? Pepe mentioned in his point before he had some technical issues there that a lot of the new faces haven't been introduced to the squad. And I say that as a lot of them haven't actually featured in the 18. You've had a wee cameo from Sam Foley. Eddie Nolan hasn't been in the 18 at all since he arrived. And you intimated it. You thought that might be just due to him getting up to speed. But it's been a bit quiet on the new signings. We've not really been introduced to them as personalities, which quite often happens at the club in the way that they're portrayed in social media and through the work that the media team do at the club. Would you like to see a few introduced? Is this too big a game? Do you kind of try and stick with what you know and hope that that's enough to get you through?
It's difficult to say. I think a lot of it depends on what the availability of players is going to be. You're kind of looking to see what sort of central defensive pairing you're going to come up with. Then obviously we've got the suspension of Stephen O'Donnell to cover as well. So that kind of is going to be the kind of more pressing concern. And then thereafter, I might imagine that if he goes with experience and perhaps puts O'Hara in there, then you're going to see a return for Crawford in midfield. And it's then a case, do you take out one of the kind of strikers for, you know, perhaps maybe another midfielder in there? Might make us really narrow, but, you know, kind of maybe a wee bit extra body in the midfield. So there are plenty of options, you would imagine, with the volume of numbers that we have in the squad. But I don't know. I don't know if the three is up front is quite the way to go. You know, I kind of have my doubts that if we go behind there, that you may be isolated again. You've certainly got the bodies in the park to maybe change that, but you know the morale might go again, and I don't know. So I don't know. I kind of contradict myself to a certain extent by saying that we were kind of starting slowly in games, but it may be that this is one that you want to purposely be a wee bit more cautious about. Remains to be seen in Saturday what he decides to go for. We really don't know in terms of the kind of the additional players that were brought in. Lawless is injured. The rest of them, we don't know. We don't know whether it's a case of they've not been to the standard that they perhaps thought they were getting, whether they're still building up fitness, match sharpness, whatever behind the scenes, whether there's bounce games going on and it's just a case of getting to them at a particular level, whether it's been the case simply that the team have been performing and up until Saturday anyway, and that they've been deserving of their places. So you know, there's a few questions that'll be answered when we see the teams in Saturday afternoon about 1:45, 1:50 or whatever it is.
And it goes without saying, would really welcome back Declan Gallagher. I know that it's been mentioned that Ricky Lamy and Bevis McGabby have been better at centre back up until Saturday anyway, where they reverted to almost looking like they hadn't been formally introduced to each other. The kind of leadership qualities that Gallagher brings would be very significant. And as I say, this is a time of the season where everyone really just needs to get stuck in and really be commanded, be confident and show those leadership qualities and show that they want to survive. And I think that the Gallagher's normally the epitome of that, a player that's very much put his body on the line for the cause. And I think also that voice in the park is very significant as well. So I think that I've just absolutely fucked up that point. Sorry, I'll go again.
I think he's actually injured still. Anyway.
All right. I thought. It's...
Okay. I was just before we came on. I was reading something in Steelman online, and it seemed to suggest that they've updated the thing in the website about players out, and it's mentioned in weeks now rather than week.
Right, okay. Well, I'll just make that point again, and that'll be the last one. And just before we started, it looks like Dick and Gallagher ruled out for another couple of weeks. That's certainly a body blow, given the problems that we've discussed in defence. We'll be losing Stephen O'Donnell, who's the vice-captain, and it looks like the captain will be ruled out for a further period of time. The website currently saying that it's to be confirmed, which is the same as Trevor Carson. You look at Liam Grimshaw's one, it says ASAP, so you'd have to imagine that both Gallagher, along with Stevie Lawless and Nathan McGinley, won't be back in time for Saturday.
No, it's at a time that we could certainly do with them. Adds to the concerns also. Again, if they do go with the same central defensive pairing as was, certainly there's a they turned in decent performances at the very least in the games that we've managed to pick up results in. So you would hope they can reach those kind of levels again rather than what we saw, unfortunately, in Saturday past.
Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you to Pepe, and I'm sorry that you had to drop off a wee bit earlier, and thank you very much to yourself, of course.
No problem at all. Pleasure as always.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back sometime following the St Mirren game next Wednesday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Rosemary, heaven restores you in life. You're coming with me through the aging, the fearing, the strife. It's the smiling on the package, it's the faces in the sand, it's the thought that moves you upward, embracing me with two hands. Right, we'll take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them now your pleasure's set upon slow release. Under